All right. You may have seen when you've signed into your Netflix account recently a little pop-up asking you where you are located. This is part of Netflix's big crackdown on password sharing. Obviously, if you're sharing your password amongst a bunch of different accounts, then it's less accounts registered for Netflix, less money for them. So they're cracking down in order to try to get some of those people that have been sharing accounts to just purchase their own. But is it going to have the opposite effect? We're going to get into it right now with our next guest, who's an associate professor in the Faculty of Environmental and Urban Change and in the graduate program in Science and Technology at York Universities. Heen Birch is joining the show. Dr. Birch, good morning. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So this is all part of Netflix trying to reduce password sharing. You've likely seen that pop up. I know a lot of people have been talking about it. What is the ultimate goal here by Netflix? Is it as simple as trying to then get people that are password sharing to try to purchase their own accounts?
Yeah, I think so. Netflix has faced a kind of, as they self-described it, a kind of bumpy year last year. So they've seen user numbers sort of stagnate. There aren't more people joining the service. And so what they're trying to do is find ways of generating revenues that doesn't entail recruiting more users. And so that means, you know, working out how to get people who are currently sharing, getting them to pay for accessing Netflix.
Which is a nice lofty goal, but when you're kicked off of a platform and you have multiple other options, what's the likelihood that those people that were password sharing are going to decide to sign up and pay for Netflix? I mean, is Netflix offering the same kind of premium content that other streaming services are offering that's making them attractive to do that? Or do you think that people are just going to say, okay, I'm out, I'm gone?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the, you know, whatever the $64,000 question or whatever it's called. I think it, like I said in the article I wrote for the Globe and Mail, I think it's a kind of self-defeating, they're potentially going to enter a self-defeating cycle with raising subscription fees. Their focus more recently seems to have been kind of short-term hits, so getting users in, getting them watching big shows and getting them to complete watching those big shows within a very short space of time. So binging, essentially, you know, we're all getting used to binge watching nowadays. But the problem with that is that, if you're enjoying a show and you don't have the time to watch it in that first kind of month period, and that's what their data analytics are looking at, that first month viewing figures, you don't have time to do that in that first month, your show gets canceled, and then that becomes a little bit irritating, annoying. And so as more and more shows get cancelled and they raise subscription fees, it becomes much more tempting just to be just to drop it and leave. And I think that so the response to the article I wrote has shown that people are getting frustrated and annoying with Netflix. So there's a good possibility that it will will lead to hitting that bottom line, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix was the streaming service for a really long time. I mean, it really dominated. But now there are so many other different platforms that people can use and that people do use. And none of these other streaming services are doing something similar to Netflix, right, when it comes to cracking down on password sharing. What does that look like in terms of other offerings?
Yeah, so I think that other services, they may follow Netflix. And as you said, Netflix is a pioneer here. But I think sometimes the pioneers in a market face the first kind of big problems when they happen. And I think Netflix has, got too used to being dominant. It was, I think up to 6 years ago, it was sort of 60% of the market. A significant player. Now, a lot more competitors are coming in, new streaming services, but also, existing conglomerates creating their own streaming services like Disney, or Amazon even, and companies like Google they've got a YouTube Prime, and so on. So they have all these competitors now. And I think one of the things that the competitors have that maybe Netflix doesn't is some of the big ones, at least, like Disney and Amazon, Google, they can cross-subsidize because they have other business, divisions and so on that can cross-subsidize their streaming services. So with Netflix, if they keep the, current strategy, then they risk, losing out to their competitors and not being able to, cross-subsidize from other revenue sources.
Where do you see the future of streaming in general going? Because now we've seen, you know, some sort of desperate attempts, mm-hmm. even from Netflix, saying, well, we're going to incorporate commercials. If you want to pay a lower fee for your monthly subscription, you'll just have to wade through some commercials. It's looking more and more like what cable essentially was.
Yes.
Do you think that that's sort of the direction that it's ultimately going to go, and maybe stacking streaming services in terms of bundles with others?
Yeah, potentially. I think that what's interesting is looking at the wider picture as well. So the costs of streaming services, both both audio and visual, so Spotify and Netflix, has gone up considerably over the last 20 years and faster than inflation. And so we're all paying more for these kinds of services. And so I think considering, current cost of living issues, crisis, people are thinking seriously about what they can cut back on. So there is a risk that all the streaming services will face cancellations and such like. But as you said, if some of them get together and start bundling, then that's a possible strategy they might undertake. They might risk anti-competitive kind of issues with that, though, I think.
Someone on our text line, as we're having this conversation, Keen is saying, Netflix is going to fail soon, sniffing out that this is the beginning of the end. Do you think that this spells ultimate failure for the company?
That's always hard to predict. I think,
right.
And I would hate to bet on it or predict it. I think that they are expecting cancellations. You can read the materials that they produce for their shareholders, and you can see that, they say, we expect cancellations, and we expect, people to, obviously there'll be cancellations from paying users, but they think that enough of the kind of people who are sharing accounts at the minute will sign up that they will make up for any lost revenues from cancellations. Whether they are accurate or not, I think is, that'll come to light in the next few months. And I think that from the reaction to my article, at least, and what I've seen in social media, I think that there's a lot of anger, frustration about this. And so in Canada, at least. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how it, whether they change their tune when it comes to rolling out these subscription changes in the US, which they haven't done yet.
Keen, thank you so much for making the time this morning and for sharing your perspective on this. Before I let you go, I'm curious, do you still have a Netflix account?
We do, yes. We have four accounts, and we have to kind of, we're thinking, are they worth it? Do we actually have the time to sit through, watching various shows on four different accounts? And some of the other accounts have other benefits, and so we have to make this decision about what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's that hesitation of wanting to let go. I mean, I think if you're someone who's sharing a password and suddenly you're kicked off, it's easy to cut that cord. But if you're the main account holder, you still have that sort of thought of, well, maybe something really good will come, and maybe I do still want to hang on to it for some time. We'll see. We'll see where it's going to go. Dr. Birch, thank you so much for the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.